Edge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham, and joined today by Rod Mullins. We'll talk some NASCAR here on a Monday afternoon, and didn't get to talk NASCAR last week or auto racing in general with Rod last week. I was at the ACC football kickoff. Got a lot to catch up on here, so let's start with some of the tragic news. The death of the crew chief of Justin Haley, kind of rocking the NASCAR world. Take us into that story, what happened, and sort of the reaction to this tragic news.
Well, the news came out on Sunday that the longtime crew chief of Justin Haley, Nick Harrison, died at the age of 37. This was after he had helped command Justin Haley to a 13-point finish on Saturday at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. The team owner, Matt Colleague, and the president of the team, Chris Rice, both said in a statement with heavy heart that we announced the passing of Nick Harrison, our beloved crew chief of the number 11 car at Colleague Racing. And they asked that you keep Nick's family in thoughts and prayers at this time. Really, at this point right now, no cause or information on services was put immediately available in front of it. If you want to call it breaking first, then further details will be provided as they come. You know, he served with a number of teams over the years. As a matter of fact, he's been a crew chief for 184 Xfinity races, 17 with Haley this year. He had one of his first of five victories, one with Kurt Busch back in 2012 at Daytona, when Kurt Busch was running for James Finch's Phoenix Racing. In between there, he's worked 120 races for Chief and Cup Series, including full seasons in with James Finch's Phoenix Racing for the Cup Series car. He also got Kurt Busch to a third place finish back in 2012 at Sonoma. That was his best finish as a Cup crew chief during that time. He's also done some work for Austin Dillon. He coached Austin Dillon in the series, and that was back in the Xfinity series. And so when I look at this, I think of, you know, 37 years old, very young age, he passing away, but I also look at Harrison. I will say this, Harrison, I don't mean this in any kind of negative way, but Harrison's kind of a big fella, big bone fella, if you look at it that way and so forth. So there's a lot of speculation right now as to what it could have been. Is it stress? Was it, you know, maybe something with his heart? We don't know yet. We'll hopefully find out here a little bit later on. It's a very sad thing to hear of someone, especially that young, at the age of 37 years old, passing away, especially after coaching his driver, Justin Haley, to a 13th-place finish on Saturday in New Hampshire. You know, I'm sure that was a big conclusion for that race, for that team, and for this man that was the crew chief. But you wake up on Sunday morning, it's that thing again, Chris, more than anything else. We never have a guarantee of tomorrow, and we have to live life every day like it's the most important day of our life and everything. And that's what he was doing on Saturday before his passing on Saturday night, early Sunday morning.
Yeah, sad news, and we'll be following the updates on that as they develop. Let's switch gears now. Go back on the court, or go back on the track, I should say. I'm thinking basketball for some reason. Go back on the track, and let's go back to New Hampshire this past weekend. Take us through the results there. Well, of course, we'll talk about Pocono coming up later in the podcast, but take us back to New Hampshire and kind of break down the race there for us.
Well, let's just say it this way. We've had different winners, it seems like, each week ever since NBC picked up the coverage of NASCAR on their part of the contract, because back in the first of the season, you had a lot of the same winners over and over. Kyle Busch was mentioned as one of those several times. But this past weekend, Kevin Harvick, if you want to call him that, a first-time winner in 21 races. Harvick has had a very, very terrible losing streak here for the last little bit. And the start of the season had not been the greatest for Harvick. They had been contenders in some races. Ended up, not being able to make it to the finish. He got penalized at Bristol. Some other things happened, and, he finally held it together, able to go and to make it to the finish of this race, signing off Denny Hamlin there at the end. And I have to say that probably the last few laps of this race with Denny Hamlin, oh, I'm telling you, it was some really great driving between these two drivers. The way that they were performing out there on the track, he was not about to, Kevin Harvick was not about to give up that lead at any cost. And Denny Hamlin, I think in some ways, didn't deliver where he should have, and that was be a little bit more aggressive. I think they talked to him in the pits after the race, and he said, you know, he just didn't get the job done. He didn't do what he needed to do in order to contend for that race a little bit more. But, you know, this race also put a lot of people on the bubble, and there's some people right now that are in some serious danger of not making the playoffs. And I know we've got some races still left before we get into Richmond, and, you know, we start getting into the stretch in September when we start getting the playoffs. But, you know, Ryan Newman solidified a spot for himself in the playoffs. He's had a good run this year. Yesterday, he ended up having a foil wire mess up. They first thought it was a cylinder that dropped at the engine of the Roush Gate race start. But they were able to fix it. He was able to regroup and get back to the top. He finished in the top 10. But Jimmy Johnson did not have good luck at all. Johnson fell a playoff spot out of a playoff spot. It left him with a 30th place finish for the second week in a row. Not very good for him whatsoever. Another driver that's in trouble right now in the playoffs, and this could be the fastest fade of anyone, and that's Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer's had a terrible month of June, and it looks like July is going the same way, too, because a crash on the restart yesterday left him with a 20th place finish. It dropped him from 14th to 16th in the point spread of the final playoff spot. You know, he wants to be in that 16, but he's going down and going down quickly, and he's not going to be able to hold on to it. He has very many more races like what he had. Kyle Larson's another one who was in the playoffs last year, but here he is, and he's right now hovering at around 13th in the standings. He's 31 points ahead of Jimmy Johnson. It is so tight right now between some of these drivers. Anything can happen here in the next few weeks, and especially going into the playoffs, we'll see what happens. But if Clint Bowyer could be out of the playoffs, and yes, Jimmy Johnson could be out of the playoffs if their luck continues the way it's going.
We'll talk about Pocono, the return to Pocono, as we wrap up our podcast. We have to address some rumors, and this will be serious news in NASCAR. Rumors that the Petty Racing team might be closing up shop at the end of the season. What's going on there, Ryan?
Well, I've not confirmed anything yet. There was a couple of things that were on Twitter over the weekend that I'd seen from some fans, and they had either come across something either on Reddit or one of these other. We know how social media is and how it can go and blow something out of proportion very quickly. But the situation is that Richard Petty Motorsports has not done well this year. They have been averaging somewhere about midway through the pack, qualifying about 27th or 28th, finishing the race about 27th or 28th. And they were talking about the fact of how much more sponsorship and how much more begging for sponsorship can you go and get for Bubba Wallace's out there. You think in one way there should be some sponsorship or somebody jumping in to get sponsorship on that car because of Bubba Wallace. You know, also because of the fact a lot of people have made a big deal about it, and I agree with them. It is, you know, he's an African-American driver, and he's unique for the sport, and they need to get that word out there. He's also a very dynamic personality, too. He does interviews and how he interacts with the press and so forth, but the sponsorship just isn't there. The biggest sponsorship that they've been able to have this year has been through a company out of St. Louis Missouri called Worldwide Technology. And they have provided them with some help there, but it's still not enough to keep them going. And then Children's Racing, I'm sure, is helping them out in other aspects, especially with their engine program and some of the other things that they need in that sort of alliance. But, you know, when you've got Richard Petty's name out there on a race team, and you know, technically own the team, and you're not getting the sponsorship in, there's something wrong. But it also begs to kind of discuss what's wrong with the sport right now, because there's a lot of people that were saying, look at the seats at New Hampshire this past weekend. There weren't a lot of people in the stands at New Hampshire. How is it going to be when they start finally getting down to Bristol? Is Bristol going to be a sellout this year? You know, money is tight in the world of NASCAR right now, and for especially Bubba Wallace, for Richard Petty Motorsports, it's getting tight. And so that rumor exists out there. Will they close the doors at the end of the season? We don't know yet. It remains to be seen. There's been a lot of rumors thrown out there. Will a team merge? Will somebody come together in some kind of partnership? I don't know, but you know, you still have that situation. You don't have full fields that are competing for these races. You don't have the 43 cars that you need each and every week. You're coming up 36, 38 cars. So you've got guaranteed people that's going to make the race, but some of those cars aren't going to finish the race. How it's going to be. You don't have even competitors out there. And I think another subject that ought to be brought up about that too is, you know, not only talking about Richard Petty Motorsport, but Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s sister, Kelly Earnhardt, was talking in a recent interview with Kyle Petty, and it's available on NBC and on NASCAR on NBC. I'm sure it will be here a little bit later on. She's talking about the fact of why there aren't more women in racing, why there isn't more sponsorship for women in racing, why hasn't somebody jumped onto the bandwagon to support a woman in racing a little bit more. And she says that there's a problem with it. So I don't know if it's something along the lines of gender, race. I don't know what it is. I'm not trying to make any kind of subject other than that. But you can definitely say that the money is a problem for some of these teams that are running the NASCAR circuit right now. If everybody thinks everything is hunky-dory over at Hendrick Motorsport, Hendrick Motorsport has got secure sponsorship for their drivers, but they have to kind of rotate them around. They can put them on for so many races, and they may have 5 or 10 races that they don't have sponsorship on that car. So they have to go out and offer it to somebody, and with a name like Hendrick, you're going to get some immediate results out of it. They'll be on TV. They'll be talked about, but here it is, Richard Petty Motorsports. You know, Bubba's not getting the coverage that he probably needs at this point after he came close to winning the Daytona 500 here not long ago. He should have been getting more press out of it. He hasn't got a lot, or he has got press, but people aren't eager to jump on the bandwagon. So it's a lot of questions about where people are going to put their money and so forth. And right now the question is, will Richard Petty survive? Richard Petty Motorsports? Will another female jump into the sport before it's over with? Who knows? It's anybody's guess, right?
Wow, yeah, that's a deep story there in terms of, you know, we get so caught up in watching the racing every weekend, but the money's is so important, and that's where it all gets going. So we'll have to keep following that as that story maybe develops over the next few weeks, few months. All right, let's talk Pocono as we get closer. You know, we're not quite there yet, but we're getting closer to the playoff time, and so this get us ready for this weekend in Pocono. Some of the storylines that we can look forward to this weekend.
Well, this weekend at Pocono, of course, we're going to a track that only has 3 turns. There is not a 4th turn whatsoever. But they go to a track that essentially just looks like a triangle, and I've used it in game before, the tricky triangle. And Pocono always does a different kind of plays a different kind of role going into the playoffs as it did back in the spring. When they first show up there in the spring, there's not a lot riding on the riding there on that Pocono race, although everybody wants to win the race. But by the time they come around to the second race, when they get to Pocono, you know, you have some different situations to set up. And a lot of it I've spoke about before, and some of it has to do with gas mileage, how much that they use, how these teams are going to be able to adapt to this 2.5-mile triangle that they went to in June. So there's going to be some things that's going to be a little bit different. There were some complaints in the last race back in June about the way the cars held to the track. And so now the track has agreed they're going to put down that PJ1 fraction compound that they used at Bristol. They're going to put it together and put it in all of the turns to help the cars be a little bit more tight and stick to the track a little bit better. They used it at New Hampshire. They've also used it at Kentucky, and it will be the 3rd consecutive race the Cup Series will be held on a track treated with it. And like I mentioned, Kentucky and New Hampshire, both of those tracks and both of those Speedway Motorsport controlled tracks. Pocono is still owned by the Petillo family, the famous family, the doctor, of course, who had that track, and he had it for years. They've held on to it for a long time. But this is a big deal when they have to go when they're putting that PJ1 fraction compound down on all of those areas in the turns and the pre-turn Pocono. So they're looking for a little bit more closer racing probably this time around at this particular event. They're going to be looking for a lot of bumping and banging. Of course, that one little, I guess if you want to call it a dog leg, so to speak, as they come down toward the start-finish line and they can come down there in the front as they come around, that's going to be always competitive. Three and four cars trying to get around one another before they get into that first turn there, the tricky triangle. So, you know, we're going to see how this one will end. We've had some close racing in those three races, Kentucky, New Hampshire, and then also previously before in some of the other PJ1 tracks where they've held these races. If you go back to the spring, you had Kyle Busch beating out his brother Kurt Busch. If Kurt had a little bit more of a stronger car, he could have been able to contend and perhaps beat his brother in that earlier race at Bristol, even running on that PJ1 compound. So we'll see what happens this coming week. Throw it out there. We may have a new winner this week. Who knows what's going to happen when they go to Pocono? It could be an interesting weekend.
All right. Well, I feel like we're ready now. So thank you, Rod, for getting us there. And I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Okay. Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.